This piece was brought to you by the Tabard Inn, tabardinn.com.
HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Health. Fern, the Food and Environmental Reporting Network, just announced the hiring of their new editor-at-large, George Black. George comes to Fern with over 30-plus years of journalism experience, including time as a foreign editor of The Nation, work as a columnist for the LA Times, in addition to authoring several books and acting as a frequent contributor to TheNewYorker.com. We're on the line with George now. George, the team at Fern focuses on investigative reporting on food, agriculture, and environmental health. We're curious, what attracted you to these topics, and do you think we're in the midst of a new food media moment?
Yeah, I think we are in the midst of such a moment. I was, in addition to all the things you've mentioned, for the past 10 years, I was executive editor of On Earth magazine, which is a quarterly. It's published by the Natural Resources Defense Council. And really, a lot of what we specialized in there was long-form reporting. On Earth ceased publication as a print magazine in May of this year. And at that point, I was deeply immersed in the book on India that I'm writing right now. And Sam Fromarts, the editor-in-chief at Fern, called me up and asked if I was interested in a gig with them, which I very much was. And, you know, I've known Fern's reputation for a while. They've only been going, what, 2.5, 3 years. But I think in that time, they've built up a lot of credentials in the journalistic world. They've partnered with a lot of major media organizations, and that's really the model that we're seeking to deepen now, is bringing more and more partnerships, including, you know, one-off story collaborations with some longer-form collaborations over time for more regular series and, you know, more formal understandings. And I guess what I offered to bring in, if they wanted me to join the team, is more emphasis on long-form reporting. I have a whole stable of authors I've known for years who are expert on all sorts of aspects of food, agriculture, environment, health, a lot of whom are actually working already with Fern. So I wanted to expand that roster of people and also try to target more non-traditional media, in the sense of, you know, there is a cadre of publications who are obviously inherently more interested in these subjects than others. And I think one thing that it's important to do now is to expand into what you'd regard as more of a general readership. I think the beauty of food and environmental health as a subject area is that it impinges on everyone's lives. And if it's restricted to a niche market, which has tended to be the problem, you know, historically with food and environmental issues in general, I think, then I think that's really where we go now. People are becoming increasingly aware of public health ramifications of environmental pollution, toxins, pharmaceuticals, drugs in animals, all sorts of things that affect their daily lives, whether they think of themselves as, you know, environmental advocates or foodies or whatever. So that's really the main approach. And I think in the process of that, you know, we'll be discussing how broad to cast the net for what we consider food and environment. You know, to me, all of these things are interconnected. I mean, climate is connected to drought, which is connected to food production, which is connected to who produces the food, which is connected to how we consume it, which is connected to how we get rid of it and dispose of the waste. So to me, it's a big cycle of interconnected topics. And I've always, you know, as editing On Earth for all those years, I always took a very broad view of the environment. So that's, you know, that's a conversation that we're developing. As you know, Fern came out primarily of a group of people who were very, very smart about the need for a healthier food system. They were very much, you know, food-oriented. And then as they've worked in the first 2 or 3 years, they've steadily been expanding the range of what that covers, and I hope to really help them continue that expansion.
Well, also, you know, you talk about long-form reporting, and this in the age of, I think, you know, Twitter and folks consuming the majority of their media through their smartphone. Why is it so important that we preserve the long form space, in particular when we're thinking about topics like food and agriculture and environmental health?
Because you can't tell complex stories any other way. You know, we exist as a culture by storytelling. It's how we learn things. It's how we think deeply about things. We're in a moment where I think social media has tremendous positive impacts, and I think things like Twitter and Facebook and other social media are extremely important attention multipliers and agenda setters, but they're not journalism. And I think part of what concerns me as a journalist for, you know, makes me feel very old to say this, but for more than 30 years, is to see the downside of social media. I mean, I did a piece for The New Yorker last week about the ridiculous overblown panic that was this summer about whether the Yellowstone supervolcano was going to erupt. And it was a classic example of a panic that was fed by, you know, all sorts of things, from amateurs who didn't understand what they were reading, you know, end times types who started weighing in, conspiracy theorists, and things, and online sources which, you know, from their name and their self-description, sound like legitimate news organizations. And they were fanning this just completely absurd panic, which had no foundation in science or reality. And what I notice increasingly is that if we rely on social media as a primary news source, less and less, fewer and fewer people are able to discern on their feeds what is real and what is not. Because if you're getting your attention drawn to subject matter based on the algorithms that determine, you know, other things you may be interested in, and that is identified with keywords and with traffic, you're going to get a feed, and this has happened. A lot of people have said to me since the supervolcano piece that I ran in The New Yorker, you know, I'm getting these feeds which are giving me, you know, end times apocalyptic reports and the New York Times in the same feed. And I think increasingly as people become less literate about complex issues, people are not going to be able to tell the difference. And we're seeing it left, right, and center, people falling for media hoaxes, you know, for stories that Kim Jong-un in North Korea fed his uncle to a pack of dogs, which was widely picked up in the media. Not an ounce of truth. But, you know, because we're predisposed to believe horror stories, we believe that. So I think it's not a question just of storytelling in the way that only longer form can do. It's also a question of, you know, authenticity, professionalism, gatekeeping, the function of professional editors. There's a lot of misplaced, I think, disdain within a lot of people who talk about the democratizing impact of social media, you know, disdain for the media elite. And for sure, there are a lot of legitimate concerns about that. But on the other hand, you know, you write off the media elite, you're talking about people who have spent decades becoming expert in their craft. And I think that's irreplaceable. And I think when social media first began to boom, the assumption was that, you know, the era of long form is dead because the technology cannot handle, the platforms cannot handle long form because of attention span problems. I think more and more people are questioning that. There are a lot of very, very good things being done through purely digital publications, including the new all-digital version of On Earth, which is launching a more full-scale digital-only magazine with a lot of long-form reporting. Eon is one that is doing great work. Guernica is doing great work. Nautilus in the field of science. There are a lot of things, you know, where 3 years ago the conversation was about the end of long-form, and now the conversation is how do you make long-form work on new platforms?
And my final question, you know, you have a great deal of international experience. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that is something that I feel like is often missing from, you know, reporting on food and ag and environmental health, how we kind of talk about the local food movement, the regional food movement in the context of a global economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you see your experience kind of shaping the work you're able to do at Fern and the perspective you're going to be able to bring to the readers?
Well, I think it's incredibly important, and I think it's also uniquely challenging in the sense that, as you say, this is an interconnected economy. More of half of all U.S. food is now produced in foreign countries and imported. The vast amount of seafood that we eat is imported. So even if people aren't interested in, you know, famine in Ethiopia, they're interested in food production conditions that affect their lives here. So, you know, I think the famine in Ethiopia and the impact of climate and drought and changing rainfall patterns on food production everywhere should be a concern, but it's a harder sell because people say, you know, it's, I don't really care about the outside world, what's in it for me? So I think you have to be very persuasive with editors. You know, there's a higher threshold, higher bar in selling an international story, but again, part of what I want to push is that dimension. I mean, I've worked a lot in mainly Latin America and Asia, some in Africa and some in Europe. So, you know, I'm very attuned to these issues. And we have people on our roster of contributors. There's a very, very good writer I've worked with a lot in the past called Jocelyn Zuckerman, who is really expert on international agriculture and food production issues. So we'll certainly be pushing hard to make that part of the mix.
Great. Thank you so much, George. It was great to connect with you, and I'm looking forward to following your work. To learn more about Fern and to follow George's work, visit them at thefern.org. For Heritage Radio Network, this is Aaron Fairbanks.